بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، وقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كتب على ابن آدم نصيبه من زنا مدرك ذلك لا محالة، العينان زناهما النظر، والأذنان زناهما الاستماع، واللسان زناه الكلام، واليد زناها البطش، والرجل زناها الحطاة، والقلب يهوي ويتمنى ويصدق ذلك الفرج أو يكذبه. متفق عليه، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. They have asked me to give the final bayan. Yeah, I don't know, maybe they ran short of speakers, so they thought, let's try and fill it up here with Mawlana Yusuf. I'm also a student of this madrasa. I just completed 2 years ago. So many people that are here know me as a student of the madrasa. And me being from Cape Town also, I don't know what the people are expecting, because maybe nowadays with the social network and that, and videos going around, people are maybe expecting, you know, he's from Cape Town, he's maybe going to rap something for us here. He's maybe going to take out the Kellogg's box and, you know, do that. That's not me, unfortunately. But inshallah, I'll try my best. And I'm not a great orator, so I'll try and give more nasihat in it. And inshallah, what is good, inshallah, you take from me. What is bad, that is from me and shaitan. So this ayah that I've recited is Kullil mu'minina yahuddu min abusarihim. Most people here will probably know the meaning of this ayat and what it's all entailing here. So I thought, now how am I going to keep you guys now, all the youngsters here, but now, you know, but interested. And I thought the only way of keeping you interested is if I'm going to mention females or something. So inshallah, that will keep you guys from sleeping here. One thing that we need to do is, we've just passed through a phase now which we would call the silly season. You know, the December, January season, a lot of people call it the silly season. So, on the radio, people were phoning in and saying, you know, we're taking offense to this season being called silly season, December and January. Because for the non-Muslims, the Christians, this is their holy period. You know, they believe that Nabi Isa alayhi salam was born in this time of Christmas and that. So they were taking offense, don't call this a silly season. So many people phoned in and said, you know what, it's not the season that is silly, it's the actions of the people that are silly. So it made me think, you know, we as Muslims, how did we act during the season? You know, majority of students of Deen coming from different madrasas. So, you know, we maybe got off in December. So it was like, how did we spend this December? Did we also become part of this whole silly season? Did we now, you know, when the silly season came in, did we now, you know, for instance, we were wearing our kurta and that, our topi. Did this become like a thing that we just discarded for the season? Did we become negligent with regards to our salah and that? And unfortunately, that's the reality of it. Lot of people do it. I'm not talking of youngsters alone. This is elders also. It becomes like the adults as well. When it comes to this season, they go on holiday, they become a bit more relaxed with regards to this alignment. So I was thinking now, how, you know, we can combine both. We want to be young, we want to go to the beach when it's hot. We want to go here when it's hot. But we need to keep our Muslim identity. And actually what I found is, many places that I'm from Cape Town, so when the hot days were there and I did go to the beach, I found, alhamdulillah, that what was happening is many youth and youngsters and many elders as well, what they would do when salah time came, they would stop and they'd read the salah. You know, one place I went to for picnic the evening with my wife, and at this time, it was Maghrib time, so we went to read salah. It was actually, it just became a bit late, but there was a jama'ah of maybe 30-40 people reading Maghrib salah on the beach front there. So automatically this becomes an attraction for the non-Muslim. They get to see this here. And especially when youth do this, and it was youngsters, they were reading the salah there. When youth do this, people are more like, you know, what is it? Look at this. Our youth will never, you know, they're more worried about partying and doing all this here. And this is what our youth is doing, the Muslim youth are doing. So they become interested in this. Similarly, one thing happened. Now we know that Mandla Mandela got married to this Cape Town girl. So, you know, lot of things are going on. So when we were coming now, when I was trying to get here to Joburg. So on the airport, when I was checking in, so one of the, you know those checking, people that check in, he mentioned to the lady next to her, but she probably spoke in Khoisa or something, but I could make out more or less what she's saying, like, you know, here's like, Mandla's brother, like now, man. So I laughed, you know, I said, yes, sir, I'm his brother, man. So she says, you know, will you accept me as well as a sister? Like, meaning, is it, are we accepting them because he has wealth and that? So I thought, look at this now, this has opened up doors for us. You know, things like this happen. Now we need to, people are going to be curious, what is this Islam and that? So we as Muslims, and especially as youngsters, we're going to have a lot of brothers, African native brothers here, that are going to become curious now, what is it? What is attracting the people towards Islam? And this is a moment that we need to grab and you know, pull them in. So besides that, now with regards to the ayah that I've recited, the school minina yahudhu min abusarihim, and the purpose of the talk here also is that how do we get a connection with Allah? How do we come closer to Allah? So majority of the time, what becomes a barrier between us and Allah is our sin. You know, we try everything, we make our salah, we do this, but then on the sideline we're sinning, so this becomes a barrier. And as youth, one of the main barriers is unfortunately this, where we're not able to protect our gaze. And that's the hakikat of it. We've got everybody, majority from 8 years, 6 years old, everybody has a tablet or a phone. And now they, you know, they're watching movies on it, they're doing this on it. And we, for instance, now you're walking outside, this beautiful woman, it becomes so difficult for us to control our gaze. And now this year, Allah Ta'ala has told in the Quran, He says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَهُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Here is addressing our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and telling him, you tell the believing men, I mean, we're all men here, tell them to lower their gaze. So here is Allah Ta'ala is not ordering us to close our eyes. This Hazrat mentions many times, this bayanat I think I've heard so much times, Hazrat, He's not ordering us to close our eyes, He's telling us to lower our gaze. So now what we do is, in this occasion here, some people, we tell them, you know, they say, no, they look for excuses, but that's a ni'mat of Allah, you know, women are ni'mat of Allah, we need to look at that. You know, people find excuses for things, man. So now, what the Allah Ta'ala, that's the order from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I just want to do one thing quickly, man. You know, just close your eyes just quickly. Everybody close your eyes. Majority of people here never close their eyes. That is why, I asked you to do something, but maybe due to thinking that, you know, it was not necessary for me to close my eyes, I didn't do it. But here Allah Ta'ala is commanding us to do something. So what is happening? You obviously maybe due to thinking, you know, yes, the youngster sitting here, so we don't need to listen to what he's saying. So what is happening? Why we don't obey this command of Allah, where He's telling us, lower your gaze, is because, first of all, we don't have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't realize who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That is one of the reasons. And I can guarantee you here, maybe 30% close their eyes for that 1 second. Majority of these guys never closed your eyes. That's just a lesson to show how we, when it comes to orders and that, we tend to be a bit lax, you know. So that I just done as a small test. I didn't know what was going to be the outcome of it, but now that proved itself here, the majority of us will not close our eyes. So here, Allah Ta'ala orders us, close your eyes, قُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَهُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. And a lot of people also, what they do is, they use this term, protection of the gaze. I mean, so I was at the beach one day, so a friend came to me and he told me, it was very, very hot. So the sun was like literally boiling. So he tells me, Mona, you know, for this day here, you must have sunglasses. So I'm thinking, okay, for the rays of the sun. So then he looked at me like it's hot, sexy on the beach. So if you got the sunglasses on, then you can look. So people take it now, protection. You tell them, you must protect your gaze. Then they think, no, wait, we need to wear sunglasses. And that is not what needs to be. We need to learn to lower our gaze. Look, we are young. You're going to want to go to places, to the beach and that. First thing is, try and go at times when there's not going to be time of fitna. But if you are there, try and do things in such a way that, you know, that we're still upholding our Sharia and showing that what we are Muslims. You don't want to become that, we just become one of them there. So Allah Ta'ala says, lower your gaze. يَغُدُّ مِنْ وَيَحْتَبُ فُرُوجَهُ مِنْ. Allah Ta'ala after that only tells you, protect your private life. So what does this show? That if one is able to protect your gaze, it won't lead to us coming to a situation where we need to protect our private parts. So وَيَحْتَرُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَسْكَلُمْ. That's more pure for them. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us here, this is more pure for you, so let us ذَلِكَ أَسْكَلُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Because verily Allah Ta'ala, He is aware of everything that we do. And Allah Ta'ala, He uses the word here, يَصْنَعُونَ. We know this word يَصْنَعُونَ comes from the Masdar Sana'a, which means to make. So Allah Ta'ala is trying to say that, you know what we're doing when we like, maybe checked out the chick there. We didn't just look at her, we had other intentions. Allah Ta'ala knows that movie, that mini movie that we made in our mind already. Allah Ta'ala is even aware of that. So Allama Alusi Sayyid Mahmud Baghdadi in his Tafsir Kitab Ruh Al-Ma'ani, under this, Inna Allah Khabirun Bima Yasna'un, he writes four headings. So under the first headings he writes, Wallahu Khabirun Bi Ijalati An-Nar. What does that mean? That Allah Ta'ala is aware that, you know, when we're walking maybe and then our cheek walks past and our eyes does, you know, maybe somebody bigger's with us, so we don't want to turn our whole head and look like we normally do. But we know we cast this case. Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of that. Even if you've got your sunglasses on and your eyes are turning there, Allah Ta'ala is aware of that. Under the second heading he puts, Wallahu Khabirun Fi Isti'amali Sa'ir Al-Hawas. That Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of how we use all our senses also. Meaning, are we using our touch in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we using this in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we using it to smell now as a chick walk past? How is she smelling nice there? No, are we using our sight to look at wrong things on our phone? Allah Ta'ala is aware of this. Under the third heading, he puts, Wallahu khabirun bi tahriki al-jawarih. He is aware of the movements of our limbs. Where we are walking to, what we are using our hands for. So Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of all of this. And under the final heading, this one for me is very important, he put, Wallahu khabirun bima yaqsuduna bitha. Allah Ta'ala is aware of what you wanted your final outcome to be. Nobody can tell me, you know, they saw a chick there, and it was just for the fun that they looked. Their final aim was that, you know what, I want to do more than just look there. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us that Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of that even. So how important it is. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't only curse the one that is looking. Meaning if you're looking now, you say, you know, comes in the hadith, La'ana Allahu Nadhib wa Mandur ilayh. Allah Ta'ala curses the one that looks and the one that presents him or herself to be looked at. Because what happens in nowadays is we dress up to go out. When it's holiday time, our kurta somehow disappears, our topi disappears, we dress ourselves up and we go out. We want to look good. So we also being cursed, not only that chick is looking at us, we also being cursed because we've dressed ourselves up to be looked at. So it's very important that also this we take into consideration, that is not only the one that is looking, the one that is presenting themselves to be looked at as well. Like I said, I'm not the best of talkers. Inshallah, if you're feeling bored or something here, I can try a rap or something. I don't think it will be any good. So this is now, inshallah, one thing that we need to make effort on, especially with regards to our cell phones and that. Make effort with regards to that. You know, this has like become like our everything. You don't need a TV anymore. You don't need to go to the movies anymore. Everything is just here. If you want to hook up with women, you want to see strange things, everything is here. And that now, you know, in this prime of our youth, this is the time when we need to learn to be able to control this. People don't believe this, but this actually becomes an addictive thing. It's not like something that, you know, you're going to do now, you know, and you think, oh, whatever, when I'm bigger, when I'm married, I'll be able to control my gaze. It becomes an addictive thing. You'll see once you become married, because you are not able to control your gaze in your youth, when you're bigger, you are not going to be able to control it either. How many, you know, sometimes it's funny, you know, you're walking and you see there's an old man standing here, and there's maybe a chick, and you can see this old man. He literally will turn his whole body around. He's maybe 70, 80. But he will still do that. That is because of how he was in his youth. Give you a good example. I used to play rugby. So rugby is a game which you're prone to injuries in that. So now, you know, like I said now, later in my life now, I'm suffering because of the injuries that I had there. So you can't expect to do things in your youth and not expect that there's going to be a repercussion later on in life. You can't think, no, you know, I'm young, I need to enjoy myself. When I'm big, you know, then I'll change my life. How do we know when that opportunity is going to come, if we're going to allow, Allah's going to allow us to become big? It's a very scary thing. We need to constantly have this in our minds that, you know, Allah Ta'ala can take me at any moment. Then it becomes, you know, then inshallah we become more conscious. When I was young, I had a friend who was in his 40s. He was a married man, but he was very far from deen. He used to do a lot of wrong things. And it used to be strange for me. I used to think, you married? Why are you doing this? You know, 40 for me was old that time. So I asked him, I said, you know, when are you going to change your life? You know, when are you going to come say, tell me, you know what, I am going to get punished for what I'm doing already, so I might as well carry on. It becomes such, it shocked me actually. You know, like, he's at this age of 40 and this is what he's saying. You know, like, he's going to get punished, he might as well just carry on with it. Do we not believe in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala is most merciful? And this actually became a big changing point in my life as well. That I thought, no, if I'm going to wait and wait and wait, and you know when, I'm a bit older now, so 38, but you still want to be young. And you're going to constantly want to be young. So if you're going to wait till you think that you're older, when is that going to be? People are 50 and still thinking they're young. People are 60, they're still thinking they're young. You look at the ladies today, they dress young, you know, more modern than their daughters. The men, they want to look younger than their sons. So this now, when we in this prime age here, this is the time we need to change our life. And we know that comes the hadith that those, you know, one of those people under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the day of qiyamah is what? Those youth that spend their youth with in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how easy is that we, how much you come in here for to do hijz maybe, then you still spend in your alim course here, maybe 10 years you spend here, that's your whole youth gone. You've become one of those people. So how lucky and fortunate are we? We sometimes think, you know, we're missing out. I mentioned this last year also when I spoke, that, you know, like one of the students that was in my class, he had seen, you know, when we were in first year, told me, Yusuf, you know what? You've enjoyed your life. And it was World Cup time, so he told me, you know what? He's going to miss out on the World Cup if he's going to stay here in Madrasa, man. So he's going to take off extended holiday so he can at least be in Cape Town when the World Cup is there. So I told him, you know what you're going to miss out on? He says, nah, you don't understand, you're old. So he stayed a bit extra. What happened is he never returned. This was a student who was a very, very good student. But just because he done that day, you know, thinking that he's missing out, what happened now? He missed out. That's what happened. He's missed out. He's become the one now that, you know, and I can tell you now, he's crying now. You know, you wish that, if I never, you know, because what, it was 1-2 weeks, finished, gone. He missed out on the rest of his Alim course, yeah. So we should be very, you know, careful. And Shaitan is such that, hey, Shaitan is much cleverer than us. So he's going to keep on tricking us. And he's going to get us to do things what we want. You know, like, you know, for instance, I say, when you're walking out on the road, you look at 99% of those ladies walking there, you know, that we turn our gaze to out of weakness. They're not pretty. But what is this called? Mullah Jalaluddin Rumi calls us tambiya. He calls it mesmerizing. Shaitan mesmerizes, you know, he makes us think, this chick is hot. Because we see she's got a miniskirt on or whatever, and now we thinking she's beautiful. I mean, in actual fact, she's just plastered with makeup and a dress now, because we're not used to seeing somebody with short dress on. She's looking like that. And this Shaitan mesmerizes us. And that is how he tricks us. He's going to continuously trick us. And you know, if we start making effort, you know, and try and change now, you'll see how easy it becomes. It becomes like second nature. It's not going to be easy in the first now, you know, but gradually what happens, and you'll see it's automatically what will happen is, when you're walking past, you automatically lower your gaze. And you'll feel good about yourself. You'll feel good about yourself. You know, and then you look at, you know, we say, I was thinking, I teach Maktab as well. So I was taking the imtihan of one of our students. The student maybe was 8 years old. This little girl, she was 8 years old. We go with just to listen to the Quran. So I thought of this ayat, you know, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. So Allah Ta'ala commands us not to go close to zina. Why? إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً. So this word fahisha, you know, what does fahisha mean? So if you look at wash means what? An animal, a wild animal. In fahsh means what? A person who acts like a wild animal. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. What came first? Don't go close to that. Why? What would happen is, you start acting like an animal. So I was sitting with this girl here, and they sent a note into the class, like the teachers, they'll start to like, so we read the note and said, don't be too harsh on this girl. You know? So I thought, okay. Taking the hand, maybe, you know, some of them, they cry, you come there while you're taking the hand. So the teacher came after, the start came and he said, you know what, the father raped this child. So what was the cause of this? Where is all this stemming from? Where is it stemming from? It can't be just that he decided on the spur of the moment to do this. And Hazrat Ali mentioned how much times he says, you know what, in this day and age, you know, everywhere we go, we face with like nudity, we're driving outside here, toothpasting, half naked chick on the billboard. Everywhere you go, they want to sell a car, put a half a naked chick there. And that how it becomes. And then now, porn is everywhere, anywhere you look. And this becomes what happens is we see these things, our desires build up, and if we don't have an exit for it, what happens? Is we find other avenues to do it, and haram avenues to do it. So what happened in this case? I actually cried. I said, what happened is here? this girl has lost a father. This wife, the mother, has lost a husband. And similarly, the father has lost a child, and he's lost his wife. And this what happened to this child? She's lost her innocence, her youth. Gone. That's why we think sometimes whenever we're doing something, the sins might seem small. There are going to be consequences to those sins. Big consequences. And then, you know, we say we need to give, you know, Dawah, and that there was this one kisa a few weeks ago, that in America there's one sheikh. So he got in the elevator. So he was going up in the elevator, and then as he came to a certain floor, the door opened, and he wasn't at his floor yet. So this lady walks in, and this lady is like dressed up, you know, like she dressed herself up in her miniskirt, in her makeup and her perfume. So him being a person of deen, first thing he does, he lowers his gaze. It's only him and her in the thing. So now she's feeling now, what's wrong with me? Why is he not looking at me? Because she's the one presenting herself to be looked at, yeah? She's dressing up like that, she wants the men to look at her. So she is standing there on the corner, like, trying to get his attention, knocking the floor. But him being a mutaki person, he's not turning to look at her. So whatever, he comes to his floor, walks out. She's thinking, no. She follows him out, she's like, excuse me, you know, is something wrong with me? Am I smelling? Am I that ugly that you can't look at me? So now you think now, right, okay. He's not shocked now, first of all, that the lady first of all came out and now is addressing him like this. So he's not shocked, so he says, you know what, I'm married. And then, you know, like, you know, he was caught off guard, so he says, you know, my religion doesn't allow me to look at, you know, strange women, and that we've got this respect for women and all that. So this lady actually was taken aback. So she tells him, you know what, can I have your phone number? Now we were thinking, oh, we in the World Cup here, this lady's asking for our phone number now. But now him being the person, he thinks, okay, maybe there's some fire, he'll keep the phone number. If the lady needs any, maybe now she'd be interested in Islam or something, she'll give it to you. His wife can, like, you know, speak to him. So he gives the phone number and he departs. A few weeks later, the same lady phones and says, I've accepted Islam. What was the cause of her accepting Islam? Him lowering his gaze. And then we thinking now, you know, well, simple things like this here. So this is how we should show deen. We need to act. And you know, why must we look at it? It was going to be that temporary pleasure for what? For him to his floor, three floors, he could have looked, she could have smiled, somebody looked at him. But he didn't. And what was the outcome? He became a means of hidayah. Allah Ta'ala used him, and there she accepted Islam. I also say, I was sitting with, I kind of prepared a bayan, but somehow just lost my train of thought, so whatever comes to my mind, I was going to say, my ustad one day, you know, you asked me, come with me to get, you want to purchase a car or something, so I went with him. So as we're driving down this main reef road here, so we're driving, and there's traffic coming back this way. So my Urdu, I'm from Cape Town, so Urdu, that doesn't agree properly with me, wasn't that good. And I used to be always nervous around those stars. So when those stars are speaking to me, I'm more thinking about, I'm going to answer in Urdu. So we're sitting in the car, and he tells me, like, you're speaking Urdu, he tells me, you know what, look here, this traffic. He says, we must take a lesson out of this. So I don't know, this is my understanding of what he said, because I was more nervous about replying to him. But I'm sure this. He says, you see this here, people sitting all in traffic. He says, you know, that is like, and we're going free flowing here. So he says, this free flowing here is a dunya, man. You know, everything is easy. If you're after dunya, it becomes easy. But when you want to work, you know, go for akhirat, and that you need to sometimes sacrifice things, and that is a traffic sitting there. So I said, you know, and similarly, like we heard that story of Shabra al-Haq, these are people, you know, our ulama, that they take lessons out of everything that they do. You know, so we must look at, you know, in our daily life, as you know, whatever's happening, we must learn to take up lessons from these things, inshallah. I don't know, we're supposed to have a Q&A, Mullah. So I don't know what was the timeline, I don't know. Mostly, oh my God. Well, there's still a lot of time. Okay, hey. So now, yeah, we're talking of this, of lowering the gaze. So now, like I said, we need to make effort on that. And then I told you that qissa, I'm thinking now, where we need to look at, who should be our role models as well. in a very famous story of all hadith, but we repeat the stories because our role model should be who? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first, and then who after? The Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. So this story is a story of Tha'laba radiallahu anhu. Most of us heard it, but we repeat it because, you know, this is who we need, the stories we need to keep on hearing and become, this should be the inspiration for us. Tha'laba radiallahu anhu, what was he? He was the errand boy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning he used to run, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, go fetch this, go do this, go do that. So one day while walking in the streets of Medina, he passed by a house. So that time, you know, they have these curtains type of thing. They never had solid doors like we have nowadays. And he looked in the house, and at that time, the wind blew, and it blew this curtain open. So what was happening? At that time, there was a lady taking a bath. So immediately he lowered his gaze, and he felt this remorse overcome him, like, you know, what have I done now? What did I do now? Look, first of all, you're not supposed to look into your neighbor's house, but first of all, he broke that. Another thing, he looked at the lady taking a bath. So he had so much remorse, and he thought, you know what? Allah Ta'ala is probably going to reveal verses now, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling that I'm a hypocrite. So what he does, he can't go and face Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anymore. He decides to leave Medina Munawwara. So what happens now, obviously he's somebody that's close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is looking out, where's Tha'laba radiallahu anhu? You know, maybe he needed something done. So he makes some inquiries, everybody says, you know, we don't know. So he says, can't find him. Nobody seems to can't find him in Medina. So he tells Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, you go to the outskirts and go and look for him. And we made a small jamaat and said, go and look for him. So they come on the outskirts of Medina and they come across a few Bedouins. So they ask, you know, they give a description of Tha'laba radiallahu anhu, say, have you seen this youngster? So you know, he's a youngster that is up here in the mountains. He's been staying here for 40 days, but you know, he's crying constantly. I don't know if this is the person you're looking for. And he's very like weak and frail. So they said, okay, let's wait and see what happens, because they say he comes down every night and they give him a bit of milk or something. So they wait. That night, Tha'laba radiallahu anhu comes down the mountain. And as he comes down, they're able to recognize. And he's in the state where he's crying, he drinks the milk and that. And he's asking, ya Allah, asking for forgiveness. So they approach him, they say, ya Tha'laba, where you been? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is inquiring about you. So he's now, he says, is Nabi, has anything been revealed with regards to me? So they say, you know, we don't know. So they do a bit of convince and say, you know, come back. He reluctantly agrees to come back. So they bring him back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's in such a state that he's weak. And so he comes even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crying. And so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, ya Tha'laba, where have you been? He says, ya Nabi, have Allah not revealed verses saying that I'm a hypocrite? So he says, Allah Ta'ala has not revealed him. No such thing. And he's so weak. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes his Tha'laba radiallahu anhu's head and puts him on his Mubarak lap. And you know, so Tha'laba radiallahu anhu's head is here. This is, he was a youngster, he was 16 years old. This is the age, that's why I'm narrating the story, I forgot to mention his age. And he said, so Tha'laba radiallahu anhu says, ya Nabi, I feel as if there is ants crawling all over my body. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs him that death is about to overcome him. Because now, of this weak state that he's in. And soon thereafter, he passes away. In what state did he pass away? On the Mubarak lap of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performs his janaz and namaz and everything. So what is the lesson that we need to take out of here? What would we have done in that case? If we were walking, here in Azad Avenue, we're walking past the house, doors open, and we see now here, hey, there's a young chick, maybe there she's standing there, she's taking a bath. What would we have done in that circle? Think, we would have stood till something happened where she realized somebody's watching. What would you have done? We would have maybe tell, hey, hold our friend, come see you quickly. And then what's the thing now? What we do? We would have taken our phone out, made a video. That is a hakikat. That is how we would have reacted. Think personally, what would we have done? Would we have turned away and felt this regret every moment? So these are our heroes. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, these are our heroes. We should look into their stories of how we should lead our lives. It's very important, because I can guarantee you how you live when you are a youth is going to be very difficult for you to change later in life. The habits that you pick up when you are young is going to be very difficult for you to leave later on in life. You can be married, you can do what, is going to be very difficult. And I've seen my friends, I've seen them go through this. You know, I have many of my friends, some of them, they become
due to drugs and that as well. That's one of the other bad things that nowadays we call what we call, in Cape Town we call them pechies. You know, people that become like cowboys, you know, like you're standing here. Friends of mine that were in school with me that were from decent homes, that is what they're doing. It's because from young they were involved in these things, they were not able to leave it, and it becomes very difficult. All these sins, we should never look at the sin as small. Like thinking, no, nobody's seen, I just cast the glance here, it's finished, it's over. It's not over. That lingers there, it actually brings, you know, you become uneasy. You tend to see that, you know, things are not going my way. And why is it you won't realize it's actually because of you committing that sin. Every Monday without fail, I sat now this past Monday with my maktab class and we were sitting. So somehow, whenever I listen to them on a Monday, is Monday you can just listen to the Quran, there is something not right. You know, it's like, I don't know why. So I said, the first thing I tell them, okay, all of you close your Qurans, tell me, what did you do this weekend? So I say, did you watch movies this weekend? Did you listen to music? Each one of them said yes. If they never listen to music, but they watch movies or something. So what is that? Because of that, the way they're reciting Quran, and I'm telling you, some of them recite so beautifully, normally, it takes them now, Wednesday, we only have maktab till Thursday, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, reciting beautifully, but on that Monday when they come, because of how they spent that weekend, their recitation, you can actually feel there's no nuraniyat in their recitation. They don't have the desire to even want to recite. And every Monday, from last year, since I started teaching, I experience this every time. So we must not think that things are small, that there's not going to be, you know, consequences to that. But it's small, they're young, or they're 8, 9 years old, and it still affects them. So for us also, it's going to affect us as well. Inshallah, I think, inshallah, we normally we supposed to speak for half an hour, 45 minutes in the Q&A, it's a fresh hiding. I'm sitting here with fellow Mulna Lamba that is sitting here, this is my classmate. So he just tells you when I completed and that. So inshallah, I think Mulna, if there's any question that you'll have it now. If there's any questions you want to ask me afterwards, you can ask. Inshallah.